Elizabeth Warren says she thought Joe Biden was up to the job because he was able to stand. More Democrats go to El Salvador to get more famous. Stand up for Abrego Garcia. And David Hogg joins the DNC and promptly announces he'll fund challengers to Democrat incumbents. I'm Greg Corumbus, inviting you to join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day, and hopefully a lot of laughs, too. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This just adds to the controversy around Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. So as you said, according to two sources, we're learning that Hegseth used the Signal app on a personal computer in his office that was connected to the internet on an unsecured commercial line. What you mentioned is called a dirty line. And that was installed at Pete Hegseth's request so he could use the Signal app on his personal computer. So why is this important? Well, a commercial internet line does not have the firewall protections that the Department of Defense's unclassified system has, so that makes it potentially susceptible to being monitored, particularly if sensitive information is being communicated. Now, this, of course, comes after previous controversies of Hegseth sharing details about an imminent attack on Houthis in Yemen in a Signal chat group, him along with other members of Trump's National Security Council. And then new revelations more recently that there was a second chat group that Hegseth had been using with
to be a conspiracy theorist here. Really try not to. But it kind of makes me wonder if you look at, and my friend Josh Hammer has a really good piece out about this today. And I was actually thinking about this because he told me, he's like, oh, you're going to like my column tomorrow. Because we tend to like SecDef Hegseth here, not just because it's fun to say his name, but because he's more in line, I think, with most voters, and he's not a neocon, and that's kind of a big deal. He's not a neocon. And so I was reading this piece it's over at Newsweek, and I tend to agree with it actually. And it's the Pete Hegseth red herring and the GOP's foreign policy civil war. And I honestly agree 100%. Now, one of the things that Hammer highlights in this, and I think it's important, is that there are some that I don't know if I would say that they're in POTUS's circle, but they definitely are, influential at least with him. And they are, they're fans, not fans of Iran, but they're what I would think is Iranian light, right? You know what I mean? Like they're kind of Iranian light a little bit. And so I think that some of this is due to that, the targeting of Hegseth in this manner. So we're going to dive into this, because when you look at the people that have been leaving, when you look at the folks that have been walking away and from, I think, what, his chief of staff, there have been a couple of others. Some of them, like this Caldwell guy, are very interesting, especially when you look at, again, where they stand on Iran. And I think that is playing into this. I think that Hegseth is trying to get rid of some of these people that are soft on this, because Trump is not soft on Iran by any stretch of the word. He's been very America first about this, and not neocon at all. He's not like Barack Obama. I see a lot of these policies, honestly, it's like they're Barack Obama policies that are trying to manifest within the Trump administration. And it's really weird. And I think that's what so much of this is part of. So welcome to the show. Dana Loesch with you, or at the top of this first hour this Friday. So this piece that I was just telling you about, because it's very much like the Kavanaugh-ing, I almost said this wrong, the Kavanaugh-ing of Hegseth. Doesn't it seem like that? Isn't this the same playbook that the left always uses every single time? You guys remember the Christine Blasey Ford spectacle, right? Everybody remembers that? Christine Blasey Ford and the way that she went after Brett Kavanaugh, and the accusations and the theater of it and the building up of it and all of this. So it's like the same playbook, but for Hegseth. I mean, that's what it seems like. It's the same playbook, but for him. So they've accused him of what? Of being a Bronze Star veteran who's an alcoholic. He's an alcoholic. He's a whore. He's a rapist. He's all this stuff. They wanted to sink the nomination. They weren't able to. I think more than the left wanting to sink the nomination, I think they wanted to prove Trump's vulnerability by torpedoing his pick and doing it before the pick could even, you know, get up, get off the ground and running. That's honestly, it's really what I feel like that's what this is. You know, the whole saying, you know, your God can bleed. I feel like that's what they're trying to do. I'm not being it sounds like I'm being a conspiracy theorist, but I'm not really. Now to this, getting into this further, obviously they weren't successful with all of that. And then you've had Signalgate. They keep going after him for Signalgate, as you remember with Jeffrey Goldberg, which, by the way, why did Trump welcome Jeffrey Goldberg to a sit down? You don't reward the enemy, your ideological enemy. You don't reward them. What on earth? Kane, thoughts?
I'm like, well, you know, there is a saying, keep your friends close.
No, you don't. You keep them close, but you don't invite them to the flipping White House.
I don't know. I think Trump likes the idea of the image of him not bothered by that, and that it's so egregious what this guy did that Trump's like, you know, I'm just gonna hear them out. Where the heck are they coming from?
You really think that? Yeah. I don't know. I think you know, everybody was bothered over the Goldberg thing. But you just don't reward your ideological opponent. You just don't. Now they're trying to say what you heard from this audio that we played in. They're trying to say that he was sharing sensitive information about the Houthi attack plans and, oh, all of this stuff. And there was a profile done about his wife, and they were getting into his history, his marital history. Politics are ridiculous. And then they got into, then there's this story of Dan Caldwell. So you have three pretty high-ranking DOD officials. You have the deputy chief of staff, that's Darren Selnick, Dan Caldwell, who's described as a longtime Hegseth friend, and then you also have the chief of staff to the deputy defense secretary. They were placed on leave, then they were fired because of the leak investigation. Caldwell's been friends with Hegseth, or at least been an associate of his for a long time. I'm really hesitant to say friend, because the media will like to set up these false associations so that they can elevate someone that they're using as a cudgel based on that construction of a false association. So they said that the way that the reports have been going, oh, Caldwell, you know, he had to go this leak gate and signal gate, the leaking investigation. But here's where it gets sticky. It highlights the division, I think, within the Trump administration itself on Iran. Because Caldwell is what you would call a dove. And one of the things that Hammer does is he was talking about the people in the Trump administration that are very, very dovian, that are, I wouldn't say pro-Iran, but they are definitely not where Trump is on Iran. And Caldwell is one of them. Caldwell is absolutely one of them. He actually was praising back in, 2015? He had praised the some of the moves that Obama and Biden had made with regards to Iran. There's nothing to praise there, by the way. Nothing at all whatsoever. And he was even the negotiator. He was the parcel to that 2015 Iran nuclear deal. So there's a lot here that makes me think that this is more than just like leak gate. Honestly, it seems like there are people within the administration that are trying to torpedo any movement on Iran, and that through at least the DOD, they're trying to snuff some of those people out. Honestly, that's what it seems like. But one of the things that Caldwell told the press is that, quote, the reality is operational. Hegseth is just not up to this. Can I ask a question, though? Who is? But I'm not asking it in the way you think that I'm asking. I'm not asking for names. Who is? You're talking about an entrenched bureaucracy. Kane, how long do you think some of those people have been in these positions?
Decades.
Like,
yeah, decades.
Forever.
Decades.
They get appointed by somebody in the 70s and they stay there until they die. Mm-hmm. It's forever. Yeah, you're right. It's forever. And I think that that's kind of part of it. They're trying to kneecap him because they don't want to lose. I don't know what the obsession is with Iran, with some of the left-leaning members of the Republican Party and Democrats, but they have one. And this is, I think, this division laid bare. There's also an interesting bit about Steve Witkoff. He's the Middle East special envoy. He's a little light as well with regards to this. Now, he's a billionaire. He's a real estate developer. I don't know. I'm kind of questioning. I will say I'm kind of questioning his credentials. I mean, I'm sure he's smart. He's clearly successful. And that's all well and good. But what is his understanding of the Middle East? I know he's done business with Qatar. He sold his Parkland Hotel in New York City to the Qataris, the Qatar Investment Authority, for, I don't know, like billions and billions, almost like $500 billion, I think. $500 billion. And he was praising, when he was on with Tucker Carlson, and he was praising Qatar and saying that they were a godsend, saying that Witkoff was described as a godsend. Witkoff was saying that they're a chief regional ally. They're an ally with Iran. They're not an ally with us. I think that they try to triangulate and they try to have a foot in both worlds, but that doesn't mean that they're somehow being diplomatic. That just means that they're being strategists. So my reason I'm bringing this up to you is because I have some people asking me, which I didn't before until this story broke. I've seen discussion and comments, and I've had people reach out. What do you think about this Hegseth stuff? I still think that it's subterfuge. I still think that they're trying to kneecap him, and that the motivation for this seems to kind of indicate that it might be somewhat rooted in positions on Iran. I mean, it's everything's still coming out, but that's kind of what I'm seeing. I feel like all of the people that are criticizing Hegseth are very pro-Iran. That's what it seems like to me. Now, I could be wrong. I rarely am. Actually, I've never been wrong. The only time I've ever been wrong is when I decided to switch up my yogurt brand, and I was wrong because it was gritty and it tasted bad. I eat the Greek yogurt, and then I went to this thing called Nunu's, which I joke and say it's Nono's. It's supposed to be Nono's because it's Nono's for you. It tastes horrible. It tastes like a tragedy. And that's the only time I've ever been wrong. So we're going to talk more about this. Also, what we have on deck today, we got a bunch of cultural issues. We've got some of the latest as it pertains to the president's meetings with some of these world leaders. We're going to get into it. Elon Musk versus Scott Bessent. That story is now coming to light. Remember the story the other week when Carolyn Leavitt, his press secretary, they were asking her, well, we heard that Elon Musk and Scott Bessent got into a screaming match. She's like, it was just a debate. I think you're going to have debates and you're going to have people yell and scream. I can't tell you how many rooms where political people have screamed at each other, thrown things and pounded on tables. Not even kidding. It's completely normal. Some of them are way dramatic, more dramatic than others. I kid you not. So that's not entirely abnormal. But again, another difference. This is what happens when you have coalitions, because you're going to have people that are going to be opposite each other on different issues. And as it relates to some economic issues, that's Scott Bessent and Elon Musk, just like you have Hegseth with the pro-Iran and the people who don't think that Iran is going to be able to be glowed up into some beacon of peace. We're going to talk about all of that. Oh, and we got a story pertaining to immigration. We had Maryland man. Now I'm going to introduce you to Long Island man. I've seen the amazing changes Relief Factor has made for so many people, and I've seen it firsthand through my husband Chris's pain relief from using Relief Factor. Right now, it's easy to give their product a try because Relief Factor makes it pain-free with their 3-week quick start for just $19.95. Get rid of pain and start living better. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, it works by supporting your body's response to inflammation. It doesn't just mask pain for a short time. It helps reduce or even eliminate it. It's safe to take daily, and in fact, the longer you take Relief Factor, the more effective. Whether it's neck, back, joint, or muscle pain, Relief Factor can help. Over 1 million people have turned to Relief Factor. Give Relief Factor a try with their pain-free trial. you can get a 3-week quick start for only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF. Get rid of pain and start living better. Give Relief Factor a try. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or visit ReliefFactor.com.
The people out there that follow their politicians off a cliff are a bit of a problem. Many pensions are down billions after the market sell-off from the tariffs. Could this mean pension cuts down the road? Some people out there fail to see the forest for the trees.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So hold up, there's a hidden magma cap. No, not a MAGA cap. Magma. Don't want to say make magma great again. That would be bad. Hidden magma cap. That's at Yellowstone. I don't know how you can have a hidden big giant magma cap there, but okay. I mean, you got satellites and it's pretty well policed. Geoscientists discovered it. They say it's playing a critical role in preventing a massive eruption. Soft eye. It's molten silicate materials in supercritical water, a liquid like gas that forms after water exceeds its critical point of 374 degrees Celsius, and porous rock. And it's a lid, essentially. It's trapping pressure and heat below it. So it's like a pimple bar ready to pop is what it sounds like. Ooh. Researchers uncovered it. They're studying it. They used a 53,000-pound I don't even know what that is. They didn't teach me this in Minecraft. Vibrosius truck, whatever that is. It injects low-frequency vibrations into the earth to study the geology of the volcanic system. And they're generating these tiny earthquakes. Basically, they're studying it through the sound and the reverberation. Interesting. I'm going to go down to here to this one. The name is Change, Climate Change. A teen was charged with allegedly starting that massive New Jersey wildfire. Joseph Kling. I thought it was climate change. Joseph Kling, 19, apparently started the Jones Road wildfire, 19 years old, 15,200 acres. It continued to burn all day yesterday and still this morning. He's charged with second-degree aggravated arson. He apparently allegedly purposely destroyed a forest, third-degree arson. He recklessly endangered buildings or structures. It was apparently he burned what wood and then didn't like make sure it was out before he left, is what it was. This is a crazy story. A transgender baby killer claims Trump is to blame for his prison rapes at an Indiana jail. I'm sure this sounds like some juicy sommelier stuff. This crazy dude who literally punched a baby to death. I'm not kidding you. That's why he's in jail. He decided to change his gender and he wanted special treatment. And then he said when he got into the prison, the male prisoners assaulted him saying, well, he's going to pardon us. I don't think that happened, but I do think that he probably was somebody's girlfriend in jail, which, you know, that's what happens to child predators. Stick with us. I've said for years now that our media is just garbage. Legacy Press is garbage. How does the average person know if a news story, if the source is accurate or if it's biased? Ground News can be a great solution for that. Ground News can show you the stories and the sources of the day, and then they give you details about their sourcing, how reliable the reporting is, and who owns them, and keep you fully informed on any potential political or motivational leanings. So, for instance, you could use Ground News to read about the Trump administration suing the state of Maine over participation of transgender athletes in girls' sports. The Huffington Post said, quote, Trump's newest political power grab is targeting Maine. The Toronto Sun said, quote, DOJ is to sue Maine over trans women competing in female sports. So same story, but two very different headlines. Is it a power grab by the president or is it in the hands of the DOJ? You can sign up for your Ground News account today and get access to the mobile app, the website, the browser extension, and exclusive newsletter so you can stay informed on the news and the bias. Visit groundnews.com/Dana today to get 40% off the Ground News Vantage plan and get access to all of their news analysis and features. That's groundnews.com/Dana for 40% off the Ground News Vantage plan for a limited time only. groundnews.com/Dana for 40% off.
If you like true crime, you'll love the Miracle Files podcast.
We share real stories with the suspense of true crime, but we'll leave you with a sense of light and hope.
Like the college wrestler who fought a grizzly, the woman who was dead for nearly an hour, or the child lost in a dark mine for days. These are the kind of stories that remind us miracles are real.
Subscribe to the Miracle Files wherever you get your podcasts. and join us on this thrilling journey of faith and miracles.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch here with you. It's Friday. Happy Friday to you. I want to tell you about Long Island Man, because we've been talking so much about Maryland Man. Maryland Man, that innocent Maryland dad who doesn't happen to be like a woman-beating, human-trafficking gangbanger, but what of? Let me tell you about Long Island Man. This is the New York Post. This is a headline that's a big mouthful. War criminal who helped orchestrate Rwandan genocide hid out as Long Island beekeeper for decades after lying on his immigration documents. And he's from, and this was in Long Island. So he's a literal convicted Rwandan genocide war criminal. He was a little beekeeper. Didn't I see a movie, something like this, with Jason Statham? Sidebar. Total sidebar. Pause. The movie, I think it was called Beekeeper. I'm looking at Kane. I think it was called Beekeeper. And it was Jason Statham. And it was a great movie. There was no character development. It was just, hi, we're here. The plot is ass-kicking. That's what we're doing. That's called The Beekeeper.
Last year.
I watched that, and it was a great movie. I liked, have you seen it?
I have not. Although I do like Jason Statham. I need to check this out. I think there's another movie that's out of his right now.
Steve said it. He didn't know we were playing Mad Libs today. Well, that's in more than one way.
That headline was Mad Libbing.
Yeah, it was absolutely Mad Libbing. So he's a beekeeper. Well, is he though? He acted like a beekeeper and he was in Long Island for 20 years. He lied on all of his immigration papers about his past. Faustin. Not going to say this name right. Kane. NSA. BUMUKUNZI. Nizibumzukunzi.
That sounds right.
Zizi.
The way you said it.
Nizibumku.
Yep.
Nizibumukuzi.
Yeah, you had it right the first
time. That's right. 65. Came to the U.S. in 2004. Lied on all of his green cards, his naturalization papers. He said he didn't have any part in the 1994 Rwandan genocide. He even did media interviews about his refugee status, and he developed connections with wealthy Hamptonites, wealthy progressive, you know, people in the Hamptons. They freaks. And then they apparently paid his bond, $250,000 bond, after he was arrested, so he could continue caring for bees, because he was a beekeeper. Not, I guess they weren't his bees. He was caring for someone else's bees. Nizibimisukizuzi, who was a beekeeper in his native country, he continued it here. He was also what they call a sector counselor when he was in Rwanda. He literally directed the killings and rapes and participated in the violence against the Tutsis in Kibirizi during the 100-day genocide that was carried, the ethnic cleansing that was carried out. Nizibimisukizuzi. Also assured folks during public meetings when he was in Rwanda that they would be protected. And then private meetings, he would tell the opposing factions that he was going to kill the other ethnic group. He set up roadblocks to stop them from fleeing. I mean, it's just horrific. In one massacre, apparently, he told one armed faction to kill a group of a different faction that were in an administrative office. And he apparently also beat some person to death by clubbing them in the head. So that's this guy. He encouraged the factions to rape the women as a genocidal tool, all of this. And he was there in Long Island forever. 20 years. And he also traveled abroad. He went to Ivory Coast. He was in Togo just recently in March. He was in Madagascar. He lived in the Ivory Coast for a decade prior to him coming to the United States. So he's been a fugitive forever. How are you literally a guy directing rape as a tool of war, a weapon of war in Rwanda, and yet you're able to come here and live as a beekeeper of all places in Long Island, right? Isn't that weird? It's weird that no one that didn't tip anybody off. No one's like, what'd you say your past was again? It's a little odd. They approved his green card in 2007 after he explicitly denied ever engaging in genocide, and he denied ever committing a crime of moral turpitude. He applied to become a citizen in 2016. It's been pending ever since. They could deport him if they convict him. Interpol Rwanda issued a notice that he's wanted for genocidal crimes in 2016. His client says, no, he's a victim. He's a law-abiding beekeeper and a gardener, simple gardener. He was a victim. But there are tons of witnesses who've all given statements to authorities that, yeah, we watched him beat a guy to death in the head. Yeah, we literally watched him like help hold women captive so they could be raped as a weapon of war. All of these people are coming out saying this. So I don't know. He's just a Long Island dad, Kane. Guys, he's a Long Island dad.
Keeps bees.
Gotta think of the bees.
Keeps bees.
But that beekeeper movie, though, it is a great movie. I'm not kidding you. I don't know anything about the guy's past. I don't think they ever got into that. It's a plot hole that nobody cares about, because if I watch a Jason Statham movie, I'm not watching to see his Oscar level acting. Okay. I'm not watching to see that.
Although he is good and Oscar level.
He's a great actor, but I'm not watching him to see a Ralph Fiennes performance. Okay. I'm watching him because I believe it when he punches people to death. And that's what I want to see. Sometimes I just want a movie where the guy comes out and all you know about his character, he just goes, I'm the good guy. I'm going to play this bad guy to death. And then he does it. And you're like, yay, that's a great movie. That's what I like. I'm a simple person. You know, I don't need all the other garbage with it. Just, you know, show me that. So this is just a simple Long Island beekeeper, guys. I wonder if there were signs. I mean, that he literally was a general in a Rwandan genocide. That's a pretty particular skill set. Were there signs? Just feel like this is going to be a movie. It ought to be. So a couple of things to get into here. So we've got, we've been following all of the latest targeting of Hegseth and others. Did you see, I have this New York Times piece that I wanted to show you. Trying to find out what the motivation is here. New York Times piece. What is dark woke? Have you ever heard of that? I've never heard of dark woke. The subhead: Democrats are trying out a new attitude. It's provocative, it's edgy, and it's perilously towing the line of not being too offensive. Basically, it's because they cuss, I think, is what the point is. It said they went back to the presidential primary, and they boil it down to, quote, it requires being crass but discerning, rude but only to a point. And it has a name called, called dark woke. How about just like assertive? You vocabulary challenged, feeble-minded halfwits. How about assertive, curt, blunt? No. We're going to totally full-on idiocracy it. It's dark woke. Doesn't that person look assertive? No, that person doesn't look dark woke. This is the dumbest stuff ever. It started as a meme, but now they're actually trying to make it a thing. They say this is just the lack of awareness in this. Can I read this graph to you? The lack of awareness. Democrats don't know who they are. They don't even know how they act. Listen to this quote: outside the party, the dirtbag left, a term for a cohort of leftist provocateurs who eschew civility politics, inspired headlines for their unrestrained derision of conservatives and liberals alike. When have they never not been that? Right? When have they never not been that? What do you mean? That they've always eschewed civility politics. When has the left been super civil? I can't tell you how the number of protests I've been to where I've seen the left act. They act like they've been just kittens in sunshine this whole time. Now they're dark woke because, damn it, Trump did it. Trump made them eschew civility politics. That's what this is building up to. They did this in 2016, too. Of course, they cite Jasmine Crockett. And then they highlighted her argument with Marjorie Taylor Greene when Greene was going on about fake eyelashes. Remember, that was actually a brilliant hearing, and it is true, girl. You need to take them down a gauge. They don't all need to be 18s. And they said that they highlight Jasmine Crockett as somebody who's dark woke. They list a number of other lawmakers. And then I realized I've seen these lawmakers, either they're on MSNBC or CNN cussing up a storm, or they've got B-roll of them acting a fool at like some rally or speaking event. And listen to this. They make this like this is all the right that has corrupted the precious innocent left. Democrats have embraced some aspects of the right's toolkit. Trump advisors like Elon Musk have used slurs and profanity. And now they said, now Democrat politicians have encouraged or allowed more swearing. What? So the way that this New York Times piece reads is that the left was just, they were all angels. It was all kittens and sunshine. And they were all perfectly well-behaved people. They said, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, yes, sir, and no, sir. And they were just, they're so kind and so nice. And they prayed before every meal. And they went and they were very kind at all their, this, nobody believes this. What in the world? If anything, the right has adopted the left. I think you have members of the woke, I think there is a woke right now. And I've talked about this before. I actually have a chapter on it in the very last book that I wrote. Identity politics being incorporated and weaponized by some people on the right. There's different factions of the right. But the left, for them to act like they never, ever were rude or aggressive, they've always ever been aggressive. And it's one of the reasons that certain Republicans got more aggressive, because they thought that they had to in order to be able to compete with this. It's wild. And they said that, oh, well, they're now becoming more authentic. I think they're just devolving further. I mean, in the past, you know, when you would have, like, you know, James Carville, I'm going to use him as an example because he's like one of the old guards that's, you know, out there on CNN, etc. It just seems like, you know, in the past, they were aggressive and they would, you know, all this. James Carville's always cussed, but he's always made a point. What is Jasmine Crockett's point? She gets up there and she makes fun of people in wheelchairs. What is her point? I don't get it. This is such a goofy article. Culturally, I tweeted about this last night because I saw this article as I was getting ready to go to bed. I was reading this. And it has to do with Pedro Pascal. Do you guys know who he is? Pedro Pascal was in, well, my favorite role was as Oberyn Martell in Game of Thrones when he had his head crushed in. I thought that was his best role. That was one of my favorite scenes in all of TV. Popped his head like a grape. The mountain did. He fought him. Anyway, so he has come out and he's attacking J.K. Rowling. As you know, they've had a massive legal fight and they had a big win in the UK over defining what, you know, protecting women and defining what they are. And he has come out and attacked her. He called her a loser, among several other things. He was also in Mandalorian. And he was quiet when Gina Carano was attacked. Gina Carano just said, was pointing out some fascistic elements of the left, and they went at her over it and fired her from it. The Hollywood Reporter says Pedro Pascal blasted J.K. Rowling for her trans tweets. He called her a heinous loser. He commented on Instagram calling her a heinous loser. He's also in The Last of Us, which I don't watch. And he was responding to a post by an activist who criticized her for celebrating the UK Supreme Court. They had a big ruling last week saying that trans women should not be recognized as women and sex legally means biological sex. Rowling was on her boat. She was with a cigar and she said, I love it when a plan comes together. She's gloating and she has every right to. And she goes, I get the same royalties whether or not you read my books or burn them. Enjoy your marshmallows. And he went off on her saying, awful, disgusting, blank is exactly right. Heinous loser behavior. Now, one of the things that I've read is his sister apparently is, he's got a brother who pretends to be a girl. It's not like actually his sister. He's got a sibling, a brother, who came out and said that she was a girl. And that's, he's gone to events with him before. He's taken his brother to events before. He has spoken up in favor of trans issues before. That's why he was, I think that kind of gives you some insight as to why he never said anything in defense of Gina Carano. And also, you get insight into this J.K. Rowling thing. He's making people mad, too. Lorraine found this. because he called Rachel Zegler an icon. This is a throwback. Well, not too much of a throwback. It's just March of last year. But after all the stuff with Rachel Zegler and after she ruined the Snow White movie, he weighed in on it. And now people are kind of rolling their eyes at him. He called her an icon. Pedro Pascal is a pick me guy. He will say whatever he has to say to ingratiate himself with Hollywood. Whatever he has to do, he will do it. And it's really one of the most emasculating things I've ever seen. When I think of emasculation, I think of Pedro Pascal. I thought this for a long time. Any man that doesn't have the balls to stick up for his coworker, much less a female coworker, when she is being savaged unfairly and falsely in the press, you're just nothing but a sack of low testosterone. That's all Pedro Pascal is. He's a pick-me guy. He will kiss whatever backside he has to and possibly more, I think, in order to get more traction in Hollywood. It's just, it's cringe. He tries so hard. If you've ever seen any video of him, any red carpet appearance, anything like that, that's exactly what he tries to do. It's really cringe. Our partners that help bring you the program, it's our friends over at All Family Pharmacy. This is such a great partner, and I love All Family Pharmacy. I myself am a customer. I've been super critical of how the government has operated and handled everything as it pertains to medicines after they tried to crush your access to therapeutics, like actual doctor-guided treatments involving ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. Because, you know, you can't rush through experimental injections if those therapeutics work. So a system that wanted total control over your health, they enacted some pretty bully tactics in order to do it. They crushed alternatives. They didn't just dismiss them. It was never about science. It's about power. All Family Pharmacy upends that. You can visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and use code Dana10. You're going to get 10% off your order. What's going to be in your order? They've got everyday maintenance medicines, antibiotics, of course, the ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, all of the medications that the system tried to block you from accessing, and so much more. That's fast shipping, no hassle, no gatekeepers, and you can order from the comfort of home. Simple, fast, and affordable. They can get it to you in like 2 to 4 days or overnight in a pinch if you need it. No insurance, no problem. Pricing is straightforward, affordable, and everything is just super easy to do. All from the comfort of your home. They deliver right to your door. And this is one of my favorite things about it, made in the USA. Every medication, including the inputs that they are manufacturing, are right, made right here in America. That's very unusual, just so you know. So you can count on that from All Family Pharmacy. It's made in the USA. You don't have to worry about outsourced ingredients or whole products from India or China. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and get 10% off with promo code Dana10. Protect yourself and your family today at allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana, coupon code Dana10 to save 10%.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
And also, a number of us believe that there are a lot of people in this country, undocumented, who should be allowed to stay. They have been a vital part of our economy. They are vital parts of our community. They are husbands, wives, mothers, fathers, working, paying taxes. We have depended upon their labor for decades.
And that makes illegal entry okay? I'm trying to figure that one out. Welcome back to the program. That's a Democrat representative saying, yeah, we want all these illegal immigrants to stay. And he just explained to you why. We have a second hour on the way. The latest inter-admin drama, the left, culture, and more. Stick with us. Gold prices have surged over 40% since January 2024, consistently reaching new highs. According to Goldman Sachs research, the upward trend is expected to persist due to strong demand from central banks. It's stuff like this that's made me take action and why I've bought precious metals like gold and silver. I've partnered with a great company that makes it super easy to buy. Easy, transparent, and simple. And that company is Gold Co. They're a huge supporter of this show, and they're the best at what they do. And right now, you can get a free 2025 gold and silver kit jam-packed with critical information about buying precious metals. It was a huge help, not just for me, but to all of you if you do this. And for my audience, you could also qualify for up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver. It's a really great deal, so don't miss out. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
You said you spoke with President Xi. Have you spoken to him since the tariffs? When did you last
speak? I don't want to comment on that, but I've spoken to him many times.
Well, and China's trying to say, we haven't talked to the United States. We don't know what he's talking. Yes, they have. For crying out loud. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of the second hour. I absolutely believe that they have. This is so silly. For them trying to, their attempt to try to downplay their, they've been talking to the United States. They are desperate to try to keep some sort of semblance of power. So welcome back. Channel 347 DirecTV is the stream. Of course, you can listen around the country. The chat's at Rumble. Lots of, not responsible for what goes down in there. But all good folks there. And then, of course, you can find us at YouTube, X, Facebook, all those good things. All right. I want to immediately get to this. This is, I think, one of the top stories today. And it is this story about this judge. People are finally getting arrested for breaking the law. It's kind of wild because for however long we weren't having that, we didn't have, it was lawlessness and disorder. And I guess they thought that the same was going to continue. It's not anymore. So this story, and I retweeted this earlier, I think Bill Malugin had the original report. FBI Director Kash Patel has announced that the FBI has arrested Judge Hannah Dugan out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, after evidence that she obstructed an illegal arrest operation last week. And these judges, by refusing to uphold law and order themselves, you're engaging in criminality or helping these people evade the law. It doesn't make any sense. And I'm happy to see now justice actually finally being served. ABC had more on this. This judge, she was helping these illegal aliens evade arrest, is the story. She's a Milwaukee County Circuit judge. The FBI came in and arrested her. She's being charged with two criminal counts of obstruction, impeding a proceeding before a department or agency of the United States, and concealing an individual to prevent his discovery and arrest, according to the criminal complaints that were unsealed this morning. Now, Kash Patel, FBI director, announced the arrest earlier today, this morning, in a social media post, which was then briefly deleted and reposted. He said, quote, "Just now, the FBI arrested Judge Hannah Dugan out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, on charges of obstruction and after evidence of Judge Dugan obstructing an immigration arrest operation last week." He added that we believe Judge Dugan intentionally misdirected federal agents away from the subject to be arrested in her courthouse, Eduardo Ruiz, allowing the subject, an illegal alien, to evade arrest. She apparently escorted him and his counsel, this illegal alien, out of the courtroom through a jury door because the federal officers told her that an ICE task force was, they had a warrant. They were coming there and they had an administrative warrant for the guy's arrest. They arrested her at the courthouse. That's sweetness. There's Kash Patel's tweet there. He said, "We're going to have more soon. Excellent work, FBI, Milwaukee." She was trying to usher him out of the jury door, and they chased him down on foot. And Kash Patel added, this judge, by way of trying to get, help this guy evade, this judge now, she put the public at risk. This is wild. And they located him. They chased him down right outside of the courthouse. And they said he tried to run from ICE agents, but they caught up with him. Now, before people start going, "Oh, but he's just an innocent." No, again, woman beater. March 12th, he's been charged with battery and domestic abuse, stemming from an incident on March 12th. He could be in prison for 6 years if convicted. So why in the world is a judge helping a woman beater evade, who's here illegally? One crime, beating somebody, two crimes, why is this judge helping him to evade? Is she in love with him? I mean, I'm just going to throw everything out there. Did she think she was, you know, going to be a side piece? Like, I don't know what, I'm trying to understand what would make a judge, this woman, so flagrantly just defy the law. This is what true equality is being accountable equally under the law. And if you have judges that aren't following the law and they're going to be allowed to get away with it, I'm going to tell you something, and I cannot stress this enough. The strength of a republic is down to laws being equally applied and people being equally held accountable underneath those laws when violated. When you start picking and choosing what people can follow laws and which ones don't have to, and what laws you're going to follow and what laws you don't want to follow, you're going to inspire people like myself to not want to follow laws. And I am one of the people that you want to follow the laws. And there's probably bigger and badder ones out there that are the same. So don't play with fire. Face up to 6 years in prison. So good. And I think it should all be public, and I think she'd be shamed. Is she going to be disbarred? I mean, clearly she has to be at this point. I don't know. The bars, each state's bar is so leftist, aren't they? They're so incredibly leftist. So this was really significant. And she isn't the only one. There have been others where they've also have been holding them accountable, throwing the book at them. Because they're just like, you had another judge. Lorraine found another judge. This judge, and I was looking him up on this morning too, New Mexico magistrate judge Joel Cano and his wife, they had agents raided their New Mexico home. They faced charges of evidence tampering and harboring an illegal alien who is a member of Trendaragua. Now, they say allegedly, but dude, he's such an actual member of Trendaragua. They say allegedly, but he's a member. The former magistrate judge and his wife, they took him into custody yesterday afternoon. They faced numerous charges, and they said that the Trendaragua member was apprehended at their residence. He was hired by Nancy Cano for home repairs, and then they later offered him accommodation in their guest house. And they investigators have all this evidence showing that he's with Trendaragua. He's got all the Trendaragua tattoos. They do get the same tattoos. There's also text messages, voicemails, all of this stuff. He illegally entered in December of 23, crossed near Eagle Pass. Just went across the border. It was it. They apprehended him and released him in I think he entered in the 15th and they released him on the 18th. And it was because the Border Patrol facility was completely overcrowded. So they were letting people go. So he was issued a notice to appear. And you know how those real, I think, what was the percentage that we were told by Border Patrol? Something like 80, almost 90% never show up, notice to appear. So he's facing federal charges because not only did he enter illegally, but he got a gun on the black market. So he was in illegal possession of a firearm that he got on the black market because he didn't buy it legally. There's no evidence of that. And this judge has been harboring him. So now I've got questions. Like, if this judge is harboring him, what else has this judge done? Think about this for a minute. These people are judges. They just happen to get caught this one time. What else have they been doing? What else have they been hiding? Who else have they been aiding and abetting? I mean, this is just when they get caught. This is the problem, the absolute lack of law and order. Now, you've got these judges that are refusing to follow the law. And then you also have these insane judges that are trying to prevent the president from actually being able to implement his agenda. This is becoming a major issue, judge after judge. We recounted some of it in our headlines that if you're a subscriber, you get that sent out to you in the morning. But we have this another day, another judge. I don't know how it's not obstruction of justice. So it's another roadblock for the administration. Red State had a really good write-up of one of them, at least. There's actually so many. Lorraine has a bunch of pieces up. In fact, one's getting ready to run right now over on Substack, where she gets into these activist judges, because none of these judges want to follow the rule of law. Not a single one of them. And now you have another federal judge who blocked another key immigration policy from the administration. This district, U.S. District Judge William Orrick, issued an injunction on the order to withhold federal funding from sanctuary jurisdictions. You have sanctuary cities and states who don't want to cooperate with authorities. This isn't the first time, and it's probably not going to be the last time either. It's unbelievable at this point that either they're being told, like the judge who said, no, we're going to talk about this case coming up. The judge who said, no, you don't have to show ID to go vote in a federal election. What? But you, what are all the things that you have to show ID for? Think about it. This, you have renting a car, buying alcohol, buying Sudafed. There's a number of things at the store you have to show. And this, even though you have, this is what I'm, it's what our law says. This federal judge, Colleen Collar Cotelli, struck down provisions related to requiring proof of citizenship to register to vote. Now, going back to, let me pull this up for my notes. Bear with me. Because I have, and by the way, Lorraine got me the receipt on that 90%. I was like, it's almost 90%. It is 90%. Not, PJ Media had the 90% of people who give the notice to appear at the catch and release. They never show up. This, I have a Gallup poll going back to my online bookmarking system. Hold up. I wasn't planning on pulling this up, but it reminded me. This was back in October of last year. And this mimicked, it's virtually unchanged from what it was also in 2016. When I was, based on exit polling data, and this is 2 weeks before the election last year, 76% of adults. Now, it's important to note, these are Democrats and Republicans. So they are doing, it was a general, it's a Gallup poll from October 24th. It's a general assessment of where all Americans stand on deportation and immigration, etc. 76% of U.S. adults, and these are registered voters. So that's even more than likely voters and more than just general voters, registered voters, Democrats and Republicans favor, they wanted stronger election law policies. 84% wanted proof of citizenship when registering to vote for the first time. When is the last time 84% of Americans ever agreed on anything? 2016, I went back and I was looking at my notes from 2016. It was pretty much this. In fact, it was 83% back in 2016. That has never changed. And that actually shocked me. Despite all of the media's manipulations, that sentiment requiring proof of citizenship before you can vote, that hasn't changed. But yet this judge, even though we have our current existing law, this judge doesn't think that that's important. If you're navigating restrictive gun laws, the Bernagun is a great addition to diversifying your self-defense plan. It's like having another tool in your kit. You know, you carry knives, you carry different calibers. There are times when you cannot carry your firearm and you still need to be ready. It's compact, easy to use, and a deterrence against threats. The Bernagun isn't a replacement. It's an option that you'll be glad to have and backed by 22,000 five-star reviews. It's legal in all 50 states. You don't need a permit to own one. There's no waiting period. And Byrna can ship directly to your door. The Byrna gun is a good choice for diversifying your self-defense array. For those times when you're barred from carrying, you deserve an alternative to protect yourself that's always at the ready. Byrna gun fits that bill. Your safety won't wait, and neither should you. Explore your self-defense options. Act today and visit Byrna.com/Dana. That's BYRNA.com/Dana to get 10% off your purchase.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So this guy, this is a BBC, a man who bought his car to replace the one he had stolen. Somebody stole his car. He discovered that he actually accidentally bought back his own stolen car. The British man woke up on February 28th to find his car, black Honda Civic, had disappeared from his driveway overnight. Told police and insurers began looking for a replacement. He found one that looked identical 70 miles away. But after he bought it, he noticed similar items in the vehicle, and that's when he realized that he had bought his own stolen car. He also found his previous address in the car sat nav. He felt he was gutted when his star was when his car was stolen, so he wanted to replace it with the same model. And he did tell the authorities about it. He said, I can't believe, I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine without, I think I would know if I bought my, I don't know, maybe not. This, goodbye loser, a protected bird flies free in Key Biscayne. So this guy, an illegal alien, decided to beat up a heron, a great white heron, which is a protected bird in Florida. Edgar Venezuela was fishing. He threw a rock at the bird, broke its wing. And the Pelican Harbor Seabird Station, they responded. They found the bird crouched in the grass, bleeding from the right wing. And they deported this guy. Yeah. They took him to court and they deported him. Yes! I love this. It's such a feel-good story. If they wanted to throw a rock at him too, I would look the other way. I didn't see anything. What are you talking about? I didn't hear anything about a rock being thrown at this guy. We have a lot more on the way. I talked too long last segment. I will make it up to you. Stick with us. Home Title Lock, it's amazing how fast and how sophisticated and how quickly all of this fraud can grow, the speed at which it can grow. When was the last time that you checked on your home's title? I mean, that's the legal proof that you own your house, and your house is your biggest investment. The problem in today's cyber world is that scammers can steal home titles pretty easily, and your equity is the target. They can forge your signature on a document, and of course, they got fake notary stamps. They'll pay a fee with your county, and then your home title's been transferred out of your name. Super easy. That's scary. So you want to get a free title history report and a 14-day trial of their $1 million triple lock protection. You can get it at hometitlelock.com, promo code Dana. One forged signature is all it takes. They've done it. Like every week there's a story about this. And then you usually don't find out until the worst has happened. You start getting foreclosure notices and you notice that people are taking massive loans out on your property, even selling your property outright. Don't wait until it's too late. Use promo code Dana at hometitlelock.com and make sure your title's still in your name. You can get a free title history report plus a free 14-day trial of their $1 million triple lock protection, 24/7 monitoring of your title, urgent alerts to changes and if fraud should happen, they'll spend up to $1 million to fix it. Visit hometitlelock.com now and use promo code Dana.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
We're back with more reforms here at DOD, and this one is one of the most important ones we've done. The official title is Restoring Good Order and Discipline Through Balanced Accountability. A little wordy, but over the target. The real title that I call it, the no more walking on eggshells policy.
This is
too often at the Defense Department, there are complaints made for certain reasons that can't be verified that end people's career, either through EO or the IG. We need to reform that process completely so commanders can be commanders. Let me explain it a little bit more. So the DOD has equal opportunity programs for service members and civilians to report discrimination and harassment. That's a good thing. But what's not good is when these programs are weaponized. Some individuals use these programs in bad faith to retaliate against superiors or peers. Mm-hmm. I hear it all the time. Say you receive a bad evaluation. Well, file a military EO complaint. It's nonsense, and we want to fix that. That's why today I'm signing a memo entitled, as I said, Restoring Good Order and Discipline Through Balanced Accountability.
You know he wants to call it something
else. It directs a comprehensive review of equal opportunity programs to ensure prompt and impartial investigations, prompt and impartial, fair treatment to all parties involved, and timely and appropriate resolution of allegations.
The no more walking on eggshells. Although, you know that he just wanted to call it the STFU. Yeah, exactly. He just wanted to call it that. Right. Or just hear me out. You know, you could just the
STFU.
Yeah. Welcome back. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this second hour. People don't know what to think. He apparently was, people are mad because he said of overweight reserve troops, quote, completely unacceptable. And that's when he said yesterday, they'll be fit, not fat. I actually saw, I'm not making this up. I don't pay attention to the commentators on MSNBC, but when I go to somebody's bio because they said something stupid and I look and it says, you know, as seen on MSNBC, I immediately just discount them further. But people were actually trying to say, well, you're body shaming people for, yes, I do want to body shame people if they're not fit for the military. If they're in the military and they're not taking care of their fitness and they're not able to, they don't have the stamina and they don't have the endurance because they're not staying healthy and fit, that's not called body shaming. It's called you're not doing your job because staying healthy and fit is part of your job. Really simple. That's why one of the reasons they don't like him. My favorite, because there's been so many accusations of against SecDef Hegseth this week, and my favorite one, it's not all this other stuff. My favorite one is what they said about his makeup room. Okay, so let me pull my tweet up here, because this. I was actually shocked when I saw them try to go at him over this. So there was a story that came out, and I don't remember the publication. Well, I'm pulling it up. I had retweeted it. But the essence of it was that they were accusing SecDef of spending like thousands of dollars for a makeup room at the DOD for... because they do hits from the Department of Defense or the Pentagon, you know, things like that. And that's, you know, normal. That's not... Like the State Department has like a little area where they do it. Every department has something like this because you do have to go out and you do have to, you know, talk about what you're doing and the policies and things like that with the American people. So that's not a dumb thing to do, right, Kane? I mean, that's, you know, that's normal. You know how normal that is. I mean, when we talk to lawmakers here and they do video hits with us, you know, they have like even little portable lights. Apparently what happened is this story, and I don't dislike Jennifer Jacobs, but I also think that this story is kind of nonsense. They said, quote, SecDef Hegseth recently ordered modifications to the green room next to the Pentagon press briefing room to add a makeup studio that can be used to prep for TV appearances, sources told CBS News. The price tag for the project was several thousand dollars. The space previously had minimal furnishings, a new director style chair, and a large mirror with makeup lighting was installed. Hegseth has used the briefing room for Fox News hits. A spokesperson confirmed the green room changes and said, for this upgrade, we were deliberately conservative and opted for less expensive on-hand material solutions. And then she had to walk back her story. She said that the green room makeup studio in the Pentagon was going to cost more than $40,000, but the ideas were scaled back. And then she added, SecDef Hegseth is doing his own makeup ahead of TV appearances. He's not paying for a makeup artist, per a defense official. And then the DOD was like, okay, we're done with this. This is a photo of the area. There's no lighted makeup. What are you talking about? There's no lighted makeup room. This is the area that Juan is showing you right now on the simulcast. No lighted mirror, DOD said. It didn't cost thousands. Everything that was added to the green room, not a makeup studio, came from existing inventory. Look at this room. The first thing is, what is with that mirror? The little skinny mirror that they have opposite the wall. It looks like a hotel, like a cheap hotel office, like the business center of a cheap motel is what it looks like. This is Spartan, as it should be. But the thing that I find horrifying and that would keep me awake at night is the overhead fluorescent lighting. Oh my gosh. I have chills. The overhead fluorescent lighting. It is horrible. That's all they have to do. They sit in there and they are lit only by fluorescent lighting. Fluorescent lighting is horrific because you think that you look decent under it. You do your makeup to the light. And then when you get on camera, you look like an Oompa Loompa. It's horrible. That's their makeup studio. They said, no, all of this is fake. And they just went over there next door and snapped a photo of it. And they're like, this is what we got. Seriously? And then you got the frame. You got POTUS, VP, and then you got Hegseth up there and the photos. I mean, it's a simple closet mirror that you can get for $9 at Walmart that they hung horizontally. And then there's a fluorescent mirror overhead. That's literally it. For those of you who are not watching the simulcast, everyone out there listening to me right now, your bathroom is more luxurious than what we just showed you. Okay, and you know that's right. Like, your bathroom has better lighting and is more luxurious than that little makeup area that we showed you at DOD. I'm not even exaggerating. And they were trying to make that a big deal. I just think it's funny. And they're like, well, he's doing his own makeup. Do you know how men do makeup for TV? Now, let me give you some insight into this. When you go, and I was a token contributor back, you know, in 2012 with CNN before they went totally crazy. I've worked with Fox. I've worked with HBO. I've worked with ABC. I've worked with everybody and NBC. And every entity does makeup differently because every entity has different sets and different lighting. So here's the rule. Like the rule at places like Fox or other, you know, elsewhere, you'll have different sound stages basically in one building, right? On different floors. And one set, whatever the main talent or the biggest talent to use that set, whoever that person is, all of the lights, the temperature of the lights, the direction of the lights, everything is tailored to the biggest talent that uses that set the most. And that's how they structure it. So you might go in, and if you're a dude or a girl, and they don't want you to look shiny and greasy. They want you to be completely matte. You can't have any shine on your face. They will tailor your TV makeup for your appearance to that set, to the lighting, to everything. Even if the lighting isn't flattering to you, you will look nice in it because they will make your makeup match it. But then if you go on to another set, you're going to look like a nightmare. So with the men, I sat in a makeup chair next to Andrew W.K. before, and I watched them do makeup, and they will make the men matte. They don't put eyeliner and all that on them. What they do is they go after any shiny spots, any ruddiness. They want you to look consistent and everybody to kind of look similar in terms of tone on camera. And most guys, like Hexus on Fox enough, he knows how to do it. Probably all he does literally is just put powder on his face. That's what I watched Herman Cain get spray brushed before. They did the spray brush makeup. I watched them do that because his skin complexion was so inconsistent, they would spray him. I've watched other big name dudes in TV. I've watched one of them yell at a makeup artist because they did not want to be spray makeuped and they just got the powder instead. I think he's kind of one of those. All he's going to do is powder his face. Why did you have to make a giant story? Well, there's going to spend. Notice how the story changed. It was thousands, several thousand dollars for this. $40,000. It was all over the place. Well, what is it? You got literally a Walmart mirror that you can get probably cheaper than $9 at Walmart. They hung it horizontally. You can't see yourself in it unless you squat down. It's ridiculous. And then you got the fluorescent lighting overhead. That's not thousands of dollars. That's not even $20. Everything, that's not even, if they got, a new little cheap chair. Oh, it's a chair that's a little higher so that someone can come around if you're tall and they can comb your hair or whatever. That's it. That's not fancy. Why was this a hit piece? Anything that they can get to go after him, they're going to do it. This is just hysterical that they try to make hay over the story. I mean, that room terrifies me. That is terrifying. I have a lighted makeup mirror. I'm not going to lie. I got the light bulbs and everything. I'm not going to lie. This? No. That's nothing. You don't even have no underlighting in that. So, but that's what a guy would do. This is a guy's version of a makeup room in a green room. That's it. That's about accurate, Kane, right? Like, that's what you would construct. If your daughter was like, can you make me a makeup room? That's what you'd do.
I'd say it's a little over the top, but sure.
So they reuse stuff. Apparently, they didn't even buy that mirror. They just found it there. That's apparently someone from DOD. The only thing that they bought was the chair. It was just this old wooden director's chair. It folds in half. It's a folding chair. That's it. That's the only new thing that they got. The fact that they, and then this is what I, the fact that they absolutely, you had to have DOD address this because of all of the hype that was surrounding this fake news. It's just asinine because they're mad at him. They're mad at him because he was like, stop being fat in the military. Stop being fat. They're mad because he said that. They're mad because he was like, no trainees. And he wants to roll back ROE. That's coming. But they're going after him for the stupidest stuff. Really, ultimately, like I said at the start of the show last hour, I think a lot of this comes down to division on Iran. Because the people that have left Hegseth's camp, they've been doing this leak investigation, they have been described as doves on Iran. And he's not. And he's more aligned with Trump and Vance on this issue. And I think that's where a lot of the rub is coming. And these people that have access to Grind, they're going to the press and trying to run their mouths to fabricate something. That's exactly what this is. It's exactly what it is. So it's just, it's frustrating because, you know, like for right now, like, I don't know if you saw this, Eric Schmidt was talking about this. Hegseth has been trying to fight medical care against medical care, elective surgeries and that for transgender troops. And I hate that it's described as a culture war because it's stupid. It's not a culture war. It's like, it's nonsense. So POTUS had signed an executive order that barred transgender military service. And then the Pentagon issued a memo in February affirming that people with a history of gender dysphoria are incompatible with U.S. military service. And so now you have judges again. And this is where we're at. Two federal judges had, they didn't just block the policy, as Schmidt noted. They ordered the Pentagon to resume providing, quote, gender-affirming medical care to transgender military service members. That includes sex change surgeries and hormone therapy provided by the taxpayer. No. I think that if you have to have that in the military, you need to go. That's it. I there's no place for this in here. This is insane. But they had two judges that said that it violates the Constitution. What do you mean? How does it violate the Constitution if taxpayers don't want to pay for elective surgeries because someone wants to cosplay? Well, how does that, that we're, our constitutional rights are being abridged because the Constitution does, A, hell, you want to talk about having a standing military with taxation? Let's have that conversation if you want to get into the debate on constitutionality. But further, why are we paying for something that's not included in Article 1, Section 8? Nor is it something that even is defensible by arguing that you're allocating the power to the states. That's unconstitutional. I mean, for crying out loud, you can't have, can you even have flat feet and serve in the military? Nope. I remember, so when I was in high school, I talked to an Army recruiter because I was actually seriously considering of enlisting. I wanted to go and be like a war correspondent and cover all of that. My grandfather found out and was not happy about it. And he said that basically the way he put it was that he would only be okay with granddaughters enlisting if all the grandsons enlisted first. I thought that was pretty interesting. He was not happy about it because he's very old school and he had a very particular way of looking at women in military. But he has right. He's a World War II vet. He could do whatever the hell he wanted. This is insane, though, because I remember when I talked to the recruiter, that was something that was brought up, and I had foot surgery, and they were really like focused on that, and they had asked about that. I had a friend that was actually considered ill-suited for service and was rejected because he had a peanut allergy. But this, we'll come back to it. We got to move because we got Florida Man on the way, and I don't want to rob you. As we move, our partners that help bring you the program, it's our friends at Tax Network USA. It's the month of the government theft organization. Yay, it's extortion, but it's legal in this case. IRS, biggest collection agency in the world. If you owe back taxes, if you have unfiled returns, do not wait for them to come to you. You need to reach out, but don't do it alone. Turn to the folks at Tax Network USA. Not all of these tax resolution companies are the same. You can schedule a complimentary consultation, talk with one of their strategists at 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Dana. They have direct access to preferred, the agents to deal with, and they know which ones to avoid. They have proven resolution strategies, whether you owe $10,000 or $10 million. These are risk-free solutions. You can protect your financial security and get professional guidance from their experts that know how to navigate the system and reduce or eliminate your debt. You know, stop looking over your shoulder and having anxiety about all this. Schedule your complimentary consultation today by calling 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Dana.
Americans of every background should be elated that Elon Musk's Doge is finding millions of dollars of wasted taxpayer funds.
The Doge team has found hundreds of billions of dollars in fraudulent spending. I mean, Social Security payments made to people who have been dead for a long time. Unemployment benefits being paid to people who aren't born yet. To me, those things would be, I would imagine, celebrated pretty much universally.
Subscribe to Culture and Christianity, an Alan Jackson podcast, on your favorite podcast app.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so I got this one. This is a Florida woman who was arrested because she posed as an ICE agent to kidnap her ex-partner's wife. That's some real...
Dang.
Right? I'm telling you, that's like hardcore. This story, this is Panama City. She was caught and cuffed. She was pretending to be a federal agent to briefly kidnap her ex-boyfriend's wife. 52-year-old LaTrance Battle went to the woman's workplace at a hotel chain earlier wearing a black shirt with the word ICE printed on the front. The victim, who is in the process of becoming a legal U.S. resident, so she's following the law, willingly went with LaTrance, she thought was a member of ICE. She noticed something was amiss after she was taken to an apartment complex and she called the police. Battle is charged with kidnapping, robbery by sudden snatching, I didn't even know that was a thing, impersonating a law enforcement officer, and felony violation probation. Oh my gosh. A Florida man caught with a bulky wallet full of cocaine at Magic Kingdom was arrested.
Was it bulky because of the cocaine?
I mean, you know, yeah. He was banned from Walt Disney World because he snuck a giant wallet full of cocaine into the park. Dustin Lee Wallace, 44, was arrested March 29th, and he got his court appearances just happened. That's why, according to Orange Circuit Court records. He had gone in. The wallet was bulky. He was nervous around when he was checking in. They observed a powdery white substance coming out of his wallet. And then they had to call in the sheriff's office, and he said yes. And he used the cocaine to manage stress, he said. Third hour on the way. Gold prices have surged over 40% since January 2024, consistently reaching new highs. According to Goldman Sachs research, the upward trend is expected to persist due to strong demand from central banks. It's stuff like this that's made me take action and why I've bought precious metals like gold and silver. I've partnered with a great company that makes it super easy to buy. Easy, transparent, and simple. And that company is Gold Co. They're a huge supporter of this show, and they're the best at what they do. And right now, you can get a free 2025 gold and silver kit jam-packed with critical information about buying precious metals. It was a huge help, not just for me, but to all of you if you do this. And for my audience, you could also qualify for up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver. It's a really great deal, so don't miss out. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're at the top of this third hour. And a couple things to discuss, including the latest red state rhino hunting, which we're going to get to in a moment. I wanted to hit on this, the Trump 2028 hat that people on the left are going crazy over. They put it in the online store, and I think it's funny. I think it's a troll. It's a giant troll, and the left is losing their minds. Oh, my gosh. I mean, they just like Photoshop the Trump 2028 on a basic red hat. So it's like, and the left, they don't even, they just like, they're already made. I'm pretty sure they're made. Guys. Good heavens. $50 each. The future looks bright. Rewrite the rules. I mean, it's a joke. They're trolling. And have you seen the slew of articles? I don't even want to look and see what's trending lately. It was all trending yesterday. It was insane. Oh my gosh. He's a tyrant and unprecedented and all of that. When they go, oh, are you joking? He's like, yeah, I'm not joking. When the press asks him, he's like, you know, it's far too early to think about it. He's totally trolling everybody. And I think just a way to wind him up. It's funny. I hope that he goes after some of these rhinos in some of these red states, though. I wanted to get to our red state rhino hunting and give you an update. We've been doing this. We're going to be doing it every day up until midterms, maybe even after as well. So we look at all red states, and we look at all of the rhinos in each red state. But particularly, we focus on Texas and Florida because they're the biggest red states now. Florida was a purple state. And only in the past like 6 years, 4 years really, did it become a red state. And that was a Herculean effort. And there are rhinos that are attempting to undermine it. So we've got it. We got our red state rhino. Kick it, Juan. All right. So the latest with red state rhino hunting. As you know, I got some headlines on Texas and Florida. But in Florida particularly, they have had this fight, and we've talked about this before, over Hope, Florida. Have you guys heard of Hope, Florida? That is the big charitable organization that is ran by the Florida First Lady, Casey DeSantis. And I can't believe it hasn't been copied in every other state thus far. It's a genius idea. So what they do is the government only acts as a facilitator, because there are a lot of people that are either on welfare or receiving help for drug addictions or homeless. And, you know, people just kind of leave it up for the government to manage. But the government does a horrible job. The people who do the best job are the charitable organizations, the volunteers, the networks that go in independent of government, and they find people and they help them. They help rehabilitate them. They get them back on their feet. They become working, productive members of society, able to take care of themselves and build a future for themselves. And that's the whole goal, right? And so what Hope Florida does is it facilitates that relationship by matching need with charitable organization. They have saved the Florida taxpayer $100 million, something crazy, an insane amount of money. An insane amount of money that they've saved taxpayers. And it also, they actually help. I mean, when you look at studies that are done on people who are in need and go for government services as opposed to those who are aided by charities, the ones that are working with the charities actually have the higher success rate. And this has been studied for like 10, 20 years now. And the reason being is because those charitable organizations have the ability to not just do a one and done, but they partner with these people and they make sure that they get off and are successful, that they get off to a great start and that they're successful. Whereas the government's like, oh, here's some cash, or here's like a one and done thing. And so this has been a really successful program. They've had press events where people who have worked within the program and people who've been helped by it have spoken to the merits of it. And as a result of this, there are some weak Republicans in the state of Florida that are angry, because when you have charitable organizations doing the job of government, what does that mean? It means you have less government. You're reducing the size and scope of government, and you're actually empowering the individual while also allowing people who are working to be good stewards of their fellow man, allowing them to do that. That also means less special interest money. And fewer kickbacks for some of these weak lawmakers. So there have been attempts to go at this charitable organization by all of these weak lawmakers, like Alex Andrade or Andrade, however you say his name. That's the guy. He got fired from the city of Milton. He was the city attorney, and he's a state rep, and they fired him as a city attorney. There was a post going around. He didn't deny it, from what I read. A post going around where he's got a hot temper. I mean, he once threatened to fight my husband. And I was just like, I can't believe you're a sitting lawmaker and you talk like this. Are you drunk? And there was a photo that went around and everybody was talking about how he got into a bar fight and lost badly. And this photo of him with a big old busted black eye and his little face mask that tells you everything was floating around. So I don't know. I got questions. But he has been going on he goes on these grifter shows. All of these people who are rhino adjacent, or just not even Republicans or conservatives. And they've been attacking Hope Florida, and they've been attacking this because they're mad because DeSantis vetoed all of these budget increases. That's a whole other story I have. They're livid because he's for instance, Florida Sun Sentinel. This was just yesterday. Quote, DeSantis questions Broward's massive budget increases. Quote, what are they doing with that money? They demand... you got to see some of the stuff that they're asking for money to be spent on. And DeSantis is like, wait a minute, hold up, what are you doing? Before he got into office, and I have friends that are in Tallahassee that have been there, that I have a couple of friends that work as lobbyists, and they have said that it is kind of like the norm. You are a lawmaker, you get special interest cash, and then you go and you advocate for that special interest. And we've seen that repeatedly in elections in Florida before. And these lawmakers that get these kickbacks, they're realizing that, wow, some of the entities that we could benefit from are going to be imperiled. Our cash flow is going to be imperiled if we're like giving all of this to like Christian organizations, or if we're allowing Christian organizations that they're not paying. These are charitable organizations that are just partnering with the government to come in and reduce the size and scope of government. And so they're angry because the gravy train's slowing down. They wanted to have budget increases for their special interests and all of this, and the governor nixed it. But my friends were saying that prior to that, that's how business was done in Florida. Like Rick Scott allowed it all the time. Charlie Crist, I mean, Rick Scott, like it, he didn't even care. And you're reversing decades of that. And it's hard, you know, it's like kind of what Hegseth is facing in DOD. Like you're going against these entrenched bureaucrats. You're going against special interests in addition to people who are within, you know, who are in your circle that are supposed to be helping you, but they're working against you. And some of the people working against DeSantis, quite frankly, are just jealous. They're jealous because he's more conservative and he's more successful. And apparently there's like a scarcity of opportunity in their heads. And they think that there's only room for X amount. And no matter how conservative or good for the people you are, these people would rather rule over ashes than do something better for the taxpayer if it means they don't get credit for it. And I'm not exaggerating. That's exactly how they are. Like Andretti went on Matt Gaetz's show. I'm sorry, but Matt Gaetz is a clown. He's a clown. He got his seat because he's a Nepo baby, because his dad's a state senator. He's got all these accusations. He's Botox within 6 inches of his life, within an inch of his life. He is. He can't even move the top of his flipping head. And he has this guy on to sit here and talk about and attack a Florida charity and go after, you know, successful lawmakers. You know, I understand that Matt Gaetz is mad that Kevin McCarthy didn't shield his ass from all of the impropriety accusations, and that he wanted to weaponize a speaker and imperil the voters' agenda by dragging us all into a hell pit of infighting while we couldn't get anything passed. You know, that's unfortunate. Maybe don't do anything that projects even an ounce of impropriety and you won't have that problem. But then he's mad at this because I guess he thought he was just supposed to get whatever seat he asked for. He wanted to serve as in DOJ. He left his seat, dropped out, didn't do that, made a mess. And now thankfully the special election secured that seat that he left, but he had on this Andretti guy and they were just like, I was like, this is content. Like you're literally, it's like watching Mean Girls read their burn book. Like, what is happening with you? So I didn't dislike him before, but I dislike a lot of his actions and it's making me dislike him. I'll be honest, because nobody else has the balls to be honest. So I guess me with the biggest cigar in the room, it'll have to be me. So that being said, I don't have to worry about favors or I got to where I got on my own. I didn't have a daddy hand everything to me and I didn't have all my friends hand everything to me too. So now you guys know. But he went on his show and or whatever the hell he does. I don't even know what he's on. He's on the internet. And they were just like running their mouths about this charity. Now, here's the other part of this. This is where the fun stuff comes in. So there was they've had independent, you know, they've had media entities investigate this. So the Florida House ended their Hope Florida investigation because they decided they were going to investigate this because Andretti was saying, oh, somebody stole money and they funneled it to Hope Florida, $10 million. Well, that was all baseless. They did this investigation and it was absolutely baseless. And then they found out, and this is from a reporter. So apparently, check this out. This is from Forrest Saunders. In a letter to the Speaker of the Florida House, the executive director of Save Our Society from Drugs, Amy Ronshausen, said that she was coerced via a lobbyist named R.J. Myers into a call with Alex Andretti under threat that an appropriations request for Drug Free America Foundation, which she represents, would be jeopardized and that she could be subpoenaed. She participated in a discussion under, quote, extreme duress, believing it would be confidential. The info was later leaked to the media. She refutes Andretti's claim that the Attorney General, James Uthmeyer, approved the use of Secretary of State funds for a political campaign. Because Andretti is going after Uthmeyer because he wants to be the next AG. And he thinks this is the only way to do it. So he's asserting that she said that these statements are all false. So she says she's seeking legal action to consult on next steps. So wait, lawfare and coercion to make people say things that you want them to say so you can fabricate a witch hunt to go after somebody because you're mad that you weren't appointed for their job? Are you kidding me? This is crazy. I'm sorry, but some of these people in Florida are the shadiest people I have ever heard of in my life. I mean, I feel like they're trying to act like they're big bad gangsters, but they're not. I mean, this is like Bush League stuff. What in the world? And this charity has done so much good for people. So imagine, and of course this story drops after this dude was going on all of these entities and running his mouth about everything. I'm just tired of being nice to people who don't deserve it. I'm tired of being nice to people and glossing over this stuff when I know they've got so many skeletons in their closet. And it's like one of the worst kept secrets in DC, in Florida. I'm like, seriously, what? But I feel like they're emboldened because they think they've been protected, and they have been, by special interests and by so many things for so long. They've been protected. Well, now all of this stuff is coming to light. This is what Florida voters have had to put up with. It's just, it's maddening. We'll talk about Texas. I got some Texas headlines here coming up that we'll talk about. But that's unfortunate. And if I sound mean, it's because it's a long time coming. Can I just say it? I don't like going after people like individually and personally, especially if they're even remotely kind of on my side. You know, I like to go at the left, and that's what I spend most of my time doing. But when you start adopting attributes of the left and you're like going after the biggest successes that we've had on the Republican side, you cease to be considered on my team. And now I feel like you're coming at this from the left. So you are the left. And I feel like that we all have an obligation to stand against that and protect the successes that we have. I'm sorry, but we're not so rich in successes right now with Republicans that we can just like, you know, start doing this kind of stuff. So, and when you, whenever you have a chance to shrink the size and scope of government, shouldn't you do that? Shouldn't that be celebrated? And why should that be thrown out of the window because somebody who's unsuccessful in their own personal life or their own political career is mad that they didn't get, you know, picked for a seat or they didn't get special consideration and they decide to carry out a petty lawfare witch hunt like what we saw with Trump in New York? They decide to do something like that, similar to that in Florida as revenge. That's psychotic. Sometimes I think maybe we need like mental health checks on some of these lawmakers before they're fit to run again. We have more on the way as we roll. Anybody, if anybody has anything to say to me about it, you can direct everything to my attorney. As we roll our partners that help bring you this portion of our program, it's Kel-Tec, the PR 57 chambered in 5.7. This is a great firearm. It's, I think, one of the best ones that they've done. They've made a lot of really good stuff, but I really think this is just absolutely one of the best. And it's just super affordable. MSRP is $399. Come on. But it's lighter than all the other 5.7s out there, 40% lighter than the next 5.7. It has a unique top-loading design that replaces traditional magazines with stripper clips, so you get a slimmer profile, 20+1 capacity, too, low recoil, and for ease of use and accuracy, engineered for simplicity and reliability. It's just a great everyday carry for everyone. It's the first of its kind, Kel-Tec PR57 rotary barrel pistol chambered in 5.7, and you can find it at KelTecWeapons.com. KELTEC, KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A woodpecker damages more than 20 vehicles in a Massachusetts town. It's an overzealous, how do you say this? Pelated? Some of the ornithologists, I said that wrong too, are going to come and correct me. Damaged more than 20 vehicles. Rockport, Maryland. Locals have been dealing with broken car windshields, side mirrors, damages in paint, everything. One resident got video of it and they said we had a vandal. He's 18 to 24 inches tall. It's a woodpecker. 25 vehicles. I don't think any Teslas, right?
No Teslas.
I love it. No Teslas. A man was charged with, we got the New Jersey, we got that story, the New Jersey one. YouTube says more than 20 billion videos have been uploaded in 20 years. It's way too many videos, people. Not everything needs to be on video. Seriously, not everything does. A mom was arrested for giving Jell-O shots to kids at an elementary school Christmas party. Did she not know? Or did she know that they had alcohol, or was that the point? She brought Jell-O shots. The mother's 33 years old. It came from a small sweets shop that's run from a private home. She said she didn't know they contained alcohol and that she thought it was a fun thing for kids. And then she noticed that Jell-O was spiked only after the kids had eaten some. I'm sorry. Are you serious? Why would you, even if they didn't have alcohol in them, why are you getting jello shots for what in the world? We're going to talk about suppressors coming up. Stick with us. It's our friends over at All Family Pharmacy. This is such a great partner, and I love All Family Pharmacy. I myself am a customer. I've been super critical of how the government has operated and handled everything as it pertains to medicines after they tried to crush your access to therapeutics, like actual doctor-guided treatments involving ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. Because, you know, you can't rush through experimental injections if those therapeutics work. So a system that wanted total control over your health, they enacted some pretty bully tactics in order to do it. They crushed alternatives. They didn't just dismiss them. It was never about science. It's about power. All Family Pharmacy upends that. You can visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and use code Dana10. You're going to get 10% off your order. What's going to be in your order? They've got everyday maintenance medicines, antibiotics, of course, the ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, all of the medications that the system tried to block you from accessing, and so much more. That's fast shipping, no hassle, no gatekeepers, and you can order from the comfort of home. Simple, fast, and affordable. They can get it to you in like 2 to 4 days or overnight in a pinch if you need it. No insurance, no problem. Pricing is straightforward, affordable, and everything is just super easy to do. All from the comfort of your home. They deliver right to your door. And this is one of my favorite things about it, made in the USA. Every medication, including the inputs that they are manufacturing, are right, made right here in America. That's very unusual, just so you know. So you can count on that from All Family Pharmacy. It's made in the USA. You don't have to worry about outsourced ingredients or whole products from India or China. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and get 10% off with promo code Dana10. Protect yourself and your family today at allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana, coupon code Dana10 to save 10%.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're on coast to coast, terrestrially, hundreds of markets. You can listen. Of course, you can also watch this stream as well, Channel 347, DirecTV, X, Facebook, YouTube, all that good stuff. So last night, I was like getting stuff done, and I like white noise. I can't stand total silence. I have to have something happening, and I can't just have the TV on because it annoys me. So I literally just put it on John Wick, and I stopped. I was like running through my house doing tasks. And it was the scene where him and Common were in the mall, and they each had, you know, suppressors, and it was pew, pew, just like that. That's what it sounded like. And I think that's what particularly gun control activists think that that's what it sounds like. And it totally does not sound like that. And if you don't agree with me, then you can go to a range without a ear pro and you can try it for yourself and see if your ears are ringing after. I mean, it literally lowers it by, I can't remember how many decibels, to where it's like the dull roar of a giant concert, you know, monitor. It's like pretty much similar to that. So I've never understood why it's a felony to own one. And I guess it stems from like what during, you know, back in the days of yore when game wardens didn't want people going and, you know, harvesting animals with, I don't know. There's like all kinds of excuses. So let's bring on somebody about this, because here's why. Pam Bondi, it's reported, AG Pam Bondi is considering perhaps doing something about this. I want to know what that means. And the people to talk to are the folks over at the American Suppressor Association. Joining us now, Knox Williams, who is the president and executive director of this awesome organization. He joins us now video. Knox, it's good to have you. So tell me what the AG is considering here. Because to me, still, it's insane that it's a felony to own something that is considered, if you are in Europe and you're hunting, and you're basically like a hillbilly if you don't have one, because it's considered bad manners to hunt without one of these. Talk to me about this. What is being proposed?
Well, Dana, thanks so much for having me on. I'm really excited to be able to chat with you. And I think you're absolutely hitting it on the head with this. It's interesting where suppressors are one of the things that's more heavily regulated in the United States than in many European countries. For firearms components and accessories, like, it's almost always the inverse. So it's something that really doesn't make a lot of logical sense. You know, these things have been regulated under the National Firearms Act since 1934. So think Prohibition era, when FDR and Attorney General Homer Cummings wanted to ban guns. They understood that they didn't have the constitutional authority to do so. So they took things like machine guns, and the original draft actually had handguns. Wow. And suppressors for handguns were supposed to be the only provision related to suppressors included in that. The NRA at the time lobbied to get handguns taken out of it, but the inclusion of handgun suppressors turned into a blanket inclusion of suppressors across the board, you know, really for no reason that we can discern. It's the only provision of the National Firearms Act that didn't have actual meaningful congressional debate, and it really kind of doesn't make any sense. It's all based around the misconception that a silencer can actually silence the noise of a gunshot, when in reality, the truth couldn't be further from that.
And tell people too, because I always see this debate online. I mean, the correct term is suppressor. I think silencer was like the olden days, not totally accurate term, because it doesn't silence anything.
Absolutely. So the law considers it a silencer, muffler, anything that can diminish the report of a firearm. And it's interesting that they call them silencer and muffler by name in the statute, because the gentleman that invented them, Hiram Percy Maxim, he got his first patent in 1909. He also invented some of the first automobile mufflers. So it's the same exact science at play. You're taking a hot gas, you're giving it a chamber to cool and more slowly expand and hit the air, which reduces the overall noise signature. This was a guy that just hated loud noises, and he thought, hey, I don't want them on an internal combustion engine. I also don't want them on a firearm. It's interesting how differently we treat them between the two, when really at the end of the day, it's the same exact thing.
Yeah, and for those just joining, we're talking to Knox Williams, who's the president and executive director of the American Suppressor Association, because AG Pambandi is considering, reconsidering, I should say, the DOJ's position on suppressors. They have this task force that's been established to push this. Are you confident? Let me gauge your optimism, because, you know, I think AG Bondi's been, and I'm not asking you to weigh in on her job performance, I think she's been doing a pretty good job. I had some concerns about her, you know, two-way authenticity when she was in Florida. But, you know, if you're doing the will of the voters, and if voters are, you know, wildly against gun control, as they are in every measure that's ever been taken, I'm willing to give it a chance and see what happens. But I just don't know if this is something that's being like thrown out as a way to say, no, we're still two-way, or we're here on, or if it's like they're really going to take action on this, because I've heard this from lawmakers before. And it just seems like it's something that's so simple and easy to do because of because of how it works. And it's just so incongruent with how it's presented, particularly by the ATF. And I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We're very optimistic and think that thus far, Attorney General Bondi has done a fantastic job. There's a couple different silos where we're waiting to get action and final word from Bondi and the administration. First off is the response to the first pro-Second Amendment executive order that we're aware of in history, right? That was a very big deal when Trump came out and put out that executive order, basically asking the DOJ to examine all firearms policy as it pertains to the executive branch and recommend changes, right? We're talking about 4 years under the Biden administration of complete weaponization of the entire federal government and their targeting of the Second Amendment community, which was second to none. There's a lot to clean up. And yes, they have they've missed the deadline. They were granted an extension and we're still waiting on that. But to me, that signals really that they're trying to get the job done right. That they're focusing primarily on doing it properly rather than expediently. And I really, for one, appreciate that. Another area that we're waiting for word on is in a case out in the Fifth Circuit called U.S. v. Peterson, which is something that an acting U.S. attorney out there put out basically the government's position about a month and a half ago that said, hey, suppressors shouldn't be covered by the Second Amendment. And when the attorney general caught wind of that, I mean, you know, they issued a decree saying basically, hey, we're going to come back and we need more time to be able to reexamine our position on suppressors. They have just this week on Wednesday asked for another 30-day extension on that. And again, to me, that signals, hey, we want to make sure that we get this right. Yeah. We want to make sure that we have the time to do our due diligence and make sure that it's properly done, not just done quickly. When you're talking about litigation and whatnot, where, things have a very lasting effect in terms of establishing precedent, I really appreciate that. And really love the job that they're doing and can't wait to see what they do come out with.
Those are very, that's a very good point on that. A very good point on that. And Knox too, it still floors me that it's to have a suppressor and it's not registered. You know, you don't got your stamp it and it's a felony, even though it doesn't really, and I think they're valuable things. I think it's great for hearing protection, especially if you're like, you know, you got a bird dog. I think it's great, but it doesn't reduce the sound to the point where you can't hear the gunfire. And I've heard this from so many elected officials, like in states like Illinois, in New York, you know where I'm going with this, in California, where they're like, we just can't have these gangbangers out there shooting people and nobody hears it. You know, that's why we got that. That's not how that works, though. Talk a little bit about the science of it, because as from what everything that I've read, and I've shot with suppressors before, they're loud. They're really loud. I mean, I think people are shocked if they've never, you know, gone to a range, they've never shot with a suppressor before. Yeah, you still need ear pro, I think.
Absolutely. So, I mean, look at the experts, right? You don't have to take my word for it. Look at what the National Hearing Conservation Association, the Academy of Doctors of Audiology have put out, where they say suppressors are an effective way to help mitigate preventable hearing damage, tinnitus, noise-induced hearing loss, any of those sorts of things. But even when shooting suppressed, it is still advised that you shoot with traditional hearing protection in a layered approach. In much the same way that, you know, if you get in a car that has airbags, you're still going to buckle your seatbelt,
right?
It's a layered approach that makes it a safer experience. Generally speaking, a suppressor on a firearm is going to reduce it by 20 to 35 decibels. That's about the same reduction that you're going to get out of traditional hearing protection like earplugs or earmuffs. And there are some benefits to suppressors that don't extend to earplugs and earmuffs, right? They should all be used in conjunction with one another. No one should be singled out as anything. And the idea that, you know, you can put anything onto a firearm and make it actually silent or inaudible or so quiet that someone standing 10 feet away from you is not going to be able to hear it, like in that John Wick movie, is about as real as the dinosaurs that you see in Jurassic Park. It's all fake. It's all used for plot points. And if you've never seen and heard suppressed gunshot for yourself, it's easy to buy into that. But at the end of the day, at this point, people that still foster those ideas are either willfully ignorant or intentionally misleading.
Yeah, it's like if you shoot through a pillow, it doesn't make it quiet either.
Yeah, exactly.
So, last question for you. So with all of this in front of us, I don't understand the objections that anyone at the ATF or, you know, anyone who's opposed to this, I just don't understand the merit of their objection. I think they are without merit. I don't understand their reasoning. Give me a little insight as to what arguments that you have to push against in your role with the American Suppressor Association in advocating for this, because I just don't understand what their objection is to making this, you know, accessible to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on who you're talking to, right? You've got your anti-gun zealots. There's just no appealing to reason with them, right? It's almost like arguing a religion. You're just not going to get anywhere with it. Thankfully, one thing that I will say is the AG and the administration have really done a good job of rooting out a lot of those institutionally anti-gun folks at ATF. And putting in good people like Robert Leiter, who's chief counsel over there right now. That was a fantastic move and absolutely critical. I think the next step is going to be getting the right person in as a Senate-confirmed director. They need good leadership. Regardless of the trajectory that they're going to take ATF, you've got to have somebody at the top who understands the issues and can operate in that environment. And I think that's the next big step, at least as far as we see it, to make sure that the weaponization is done and that we can do everything that we can over the next 3.5-4 years to make sure that it is incredibly hard for any future administration to pick that weaponization back up.
I want this to be so successful. I would love to see this happen because it is. I mean, because after a while, even when you have, you know, your cans on and it just a little bit extra help, you know, if you're out hunting, especially if you hunt a lot, I mean, that it really does go a long way in helping to preserve hearing. And there's just no legitimate reason to oppose it. I'm really happy that you guys are really finding some success with this. And y'all been talking to DOJ and talking to the AG and all that. I'm glad that you guys are there doing that. Please keep us updated, and we'd like to have you back to kind of follow this, because this would be a huge victory. And as you said, that EO that came in from POTUS, I've never seen a president do a 2A EO like that before. So that was, it surprised me, and I was incredibly happy about it. So I assume you were as well. So this is all great. We're moving in the right direction.
Absolutely.
All right, there you go. Knox Williams, it's a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much. We'll have you back. Executive Director, American Suppressor Association. You can find him on X at AM Suppressor. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate all the work you do. God bless.
Thank you so much.
Of course. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this third hour. And then I got one more headline for you. When we've been talking about red state rhinos, we got to hit Texas. We got to hit a Texas. As we move our friends over at Patriot Mobile, great cell phone service, Christian conservative, you're going to pay a lot less than what you're paying with your current cell phone bill, and you get nationwide coverage you can trust. They have coverage operating on all three major networks. You're connected wherever you go. And it's not just about switching to better coverage and working with a 100% U.S.-based customer service team and, you know, getting that free month of service using promo code Dana, but it's about being mindful of how you spend your dollars and working with companies that don't undermine you at the ballot box. And that's what Patriot Mobile is all about. Right now, visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month of service. This is my cell phone service, free month of it, with promo code Dana. Switch today. Defend freedom with every call and text you make. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
So I was watching some of the reports on X, and they're saying that, for instance, as it relates to Texas, they have, this is the Texas scorecard, they were saying that State Rep Tom Craddock wants to suspend the rules so they can try to resurrect some of these Democrat bills that other Republicans killed. They think it's important to try to get them done. They think it's some of these Republicans in the Texas state legislature think that you demonstrate success, at least by at creating unity, by incorporating Democrat members as chairs of committees and actually like advancing their bills. And I'm not exaggerating. It's amazing to see this. And I just all of this. I mean, the speaker capitulating to Democrats. One thing after the other. There needs to be like, it should be a reality show. I honestly think you could make a reality show out of some of these state lawmaker offices, and I don't know why they don't. We could be here all the rest of the day, because now they're putting up a fight, and apparently the conservatives in Austin are trying to unify and push together against the Democrats cosplaying as Republicans in the Texas House. So we're gonna keep an eye on that, all of that, and have more for you next week. And as you know, we're gonna be looking at some of the red state rhino stuff in all of the red states, focusing a little bit more attention on the two biggest. But we're gonna be doing this all throughout, you know, leading up to midterms. And there's a lot there. I'll try not to get it too into the weeds, but it's something you really need to know about. And even if it's in a state that you don't live in, you really need to be aware of it, because everyone said, oh, this stuff isn't going to happen in Texas, and look what happened. Or this stuff won't happen in Florida, and look what happened. Colorado, for 63 years, they said, oh, that would never happen here. Two election cycles, it flipped. You absolutely need to pay attention to all of it. It's incredibly important. In the meantime, we'll also follow up over at Substack. Lorraine has a great piece over there right now about the latest wayward judge who's trying to torpedo POTUS's and the voters' agenda. You can go check that out over at Chapter and Verse now. In the meantime, today in stupidity.
Woo! Believe it or not, Jim Acosta.
I made do believe it again.
Over the years, Jim Acosta has been in Today in Stupidity several times. And, well, it's because he opens his mouth and says stuff like this.
It seems to me Trump has figured out how to crack the code of how to hurt the press, how to hit the media where it hurts. And in part because these companies should never have been allowed to take over these news organizations to begin with and have the kind of sway.
I love this
and
Monday morning quarterbacking that they do on their own mistakes that they themselves voluntarily did. Trump isn't the one that hurt the media. The media is what hurt the media. You can't be honest. You have agenda-driven narratives that you drive. After a while, people just lose trust. That's what happened. So stop blaming Trump. You're stupid.
But Trump did it. So ridiculous. Facebook, YouTube, go find us there. Like and subscribe. Substack, Chapter and Verse. I hope you guys have a great weekend. I will be back behind the mic with you on Monday. God bless.